Indeed, I'm thankful for another opportunity by the mercy and grace of God that we can be together again on another Lord's Day with the blessing and the opportunity to come together and to worship Him, to sing these songs of praises to His name, honor, and glory, to study for a few moments from His Word, and to gather around His Son's table in remembrance of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. We're happy that you're here today and hope that time together will provoke you to a greater service in God's kingdom. If you are here and you are not a member of the Lord's church, you indeed are an honored guest. I ask you to follow along the things that we will discuss. If there's any questions about the things that are taught or any of the things that are practiced here at Knollwood, we would be more than happy to sit down with you with an open Bible and an open mind and come to an understanding of the truth of God's Word. We only try to preach and practice that which is contained in God's Word. That is the only thing that will be pleasing to Him, and that will be the only thing that will be profitable for any of us to do while we live upon this earth. Today's lessons are indeed important because they deal with a very vital decision and commitment. Two young people begin to see each other, and after some time passes, they fall in love. And then they decide that they want to get married. The date is set, the invitations are sent out, the dress is bought, the bridal shower is had, the wedding party and who will be in it has been decided, and the reception, and all that's left is a rehearsal. I'm the preacher that they've asked to do this particular ceremony and to take their vows, and on their wedding day, I go up to them and I say, "Are you prepared for this marriage?" And their answer is, "Yes, we had the rehearsal last night." I'm sad to say that's all that many people go into with their understanding of marriage. Many people believe and think about marriage after the fact. Well, today I want to try to turn that around. And for a few moments this morning, I want to talk about preparations for marriage. We're going to be very frank and we're going to be very pointed in some of the things that we will discuss this morning. The young people, I'm glad that you're here. And all of you that are not married, I'm glad that you're here because I want you to consider the seriousness of what we're going to talk about this day. And all of us that are married, tonight's lesson will be more about our blessings and our attitude towards the marriage that we find ourselves in. Lord willing, we will discuss God's law on marriage this evening. Let me offer some food for thought this morning. God ordained marriage. In Genesis, the second chapter, verse 18 through 25, we have the account, the biblical account, where God looked upon all that He created after all of His creation, and He saw that Adam was alone. And He determined that it was not good for Adam to be alone in verse 18. And so He created for him a helpmeet, one suitable that was not found on all the earth. Another man would have not been suitable. None of the animals would have been suitable. There had to be one created that would be suitable for man. And the institution of marriage was instituted by God. This marriage and this institution was done for the benefit of both man and the woman. It was done for the love and the benefit of both. Not more for one than the other. It was done for the betterment of mankind. Marriage is not for immature people. Marriage is for mature people. Marriage, and the question I've been asked many times, what makes a good marriage? Well, I guess that depends on who you ask and what reason you're asking it for. But I have an answer to that question. What makes a good marriage is good marriage material. What also makes a good marriage, and how do two people have a successful marriage? Well, many answers have been given to that question, but I believe the most vital point has been left out. The way to have a successful marriage is to properly prepare for marriage, to properly understand what you're getting into and understand what's going to be called upon you to do in that particular relationship. The only decision that is of more importance and more vital in your life that you will ever make is your decision to become a Christian. That is the greatest decision you will ever make. The second is who you determine to spend your life with as a man or a woman in the institution of marriage. In this lesson, we want to discuss some of the things that come prior to the I do's. Some things that I want you to consider with me this morning. And I want you to give careful consideration to the things that we will discuss this morning. Because I believe the understanding of these principles, and not only the understanding of these principles, but the application of these principles, will make the difference between a good marriage and a bad marriage. Will make the difference between a happy marriage and an unhappy marriage. I want to begin this morning by asking some questions. And these questions are designed to make us think and to make us understand some things that are very pertinent in a marriage relationship. There are 10 questions I want to ask you that are not married. And I want you to pay very close attention to these questions. I want you to be honest with your answers. My first question is simply this. Young man or young lady, are you prepared to put someone else first in your life other than yourself? Now, God is first in all things. But when you get married, then you've got to determine that you're going to begin to think of someone else other than yourself. You're going to have to be able to put someone else first ahead of you. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, that lists the works of the flesh, one of the things listed there is selfishness or selfish ambition. Young man or young lady, if you are more concerned with yourself than you can be about your mate, then you are not ready to get married. If you think that you got to have your way in the relationship, save your partner some grief. It's not always going to be your way, and it can't always be your way. And if you're not willing to put someone else first, other than yourself, then you're not ready to be married. And until you can make that determination in your life, you will not be ready to be married. Because you're going to have to be able to put your mate first. My next question. Are you prepared to leave father and mother and anything else to make your mate the center of your life? You remember what God said in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24? Man shall leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Young person, if you're not ready to leave mom and dad, if you're not ready to leave and cling to their advice to everything that you do, if you're not ready to cut the apron strings, then you are not ready to get married. When you get married, it is you and your mate. It is not you and the in-laws and your parents. It's two people, not six, or not four. It's two. And if you're not ready to leave the home of mom and dad, if you're not ready to leave their counsel, if you're not ready to make the decisions on your own without consulting them, then you are not ready to be married. Many marriages have been destroyed in the very beginning because a third party has been added by the parents of one or the other. And because someone can't leave them or cannot do their lives without consulting their advice or their opinion. If you're not ready to leave your home and the security that you have with your parents, then you're not ready for marriage. And until you are ready to do that, then you're not ready to get married. Because you see the last part of that question? If you're a man, your wife has to be the center point of your life. Not mom and dad anymore, but your wife. Wives, your husband has to be the center point of your life. Not your mother, not your father, but your husband. And if you're not ready to make that commitment, don't enter marriage. It will prove disastrous. Are you prepared, young man to love a wife as much as you love yourself. Turn to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Look at verse number 28. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 28. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." Young man, are you prepared to love your wife as much as you love yourself? Are you prepared to look out for her interests more than you look out for your own? And are you prepared to treat her better than you treat yourself? If you're not, then you're not ready for marriage. That's a determination that you must make. The next one goes right along with that. That's also contained in that passage. Young man, are you prepared to sacrifice your life for your wife? Look at verse 25 of the passage that we just read. Ephesians 5, verse 25. "Husbands, love your wife as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Young man, could you die for your wife? Would you be willing to lay your life down for your mate? Now, I remember in a discussion that I read about that this question was posed with an illustration. And the question was asked to this young man like this. Let's say that after you left this building and you walked outside and your wife or your fiance, as it might be, was stepped out in the road unbeknown that a truck was barreling down at her. Could you push her out of the way? Take her place? One man said, "I guess that depends on how big the truck is." Brethren, it's serious. You may not be called upon to die for your mate, but if you were, would you be able to sacrifice your own life for that of another person? Now, you know what? That's an easy question for us to second guess ourselves. But you know, the Bible says that that's part of your responsibility in marriage. That you've got to be willing to die for your mate as the Lord died for his church. You know what that means? It means Christ died willingly. Would you be willing to do that? If you're not, if your life is more valuable than the life of another person, then you're not ready to get married. And you should refrain from entering that relationship. Young lady, are you prepared to subject yourself to your husband? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse number 22. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Now, wives, or young ladies, are you willing to submit yourself to a man in everything in your life? Now, you know, this is kind of a demeaning thing today to a lot of women. They believe some male chauvinist thought this up. Well, let me show you that it didn't come because of that. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and look at verse number 3. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 3. "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." Now, that's the roles, and that's the position, and God made it so. Now, I remember in Las Vegas, when I lived there, I got into a discussion or a disagreement with a statement that an elder made in a Bible class. He made the statement that a wife would not have to be under subjection to a husband if he used poor judgment. Now you just show me the Bible passage that says that, and how that reconciles Matthew, Ephesians 5 and verse 24. The Bible says in everything. You mean, what if he makes a mistake? He might make a mistake. He probably will make a mistake. We husbands make mistakes. But would you still be willing to submit yourself to him? Young lady, would you be willing to submit your life and put it in the hands of a man and do so willingly? Not grudgingly, not doing it because you have to, but doing it because God calls upon you to do it, and doing it with a forthright and willing heart. But you know something, brethren? There's a danger in role reversals. In our society, they think not. But let me show you the first role reversal brought terrible results. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want you to look at verse number 13. Listen. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Now notice, the man wasn't deceived, but the woman was. Now what's significant about that? Well, take your Bible, let's turn back to the account for a minute. I want you to notice the writer of Genesis in chapter 2, in verse, or excuse me, chapter 3 and verse number 20. Verse 17. Then he said to Adam, this is God talking, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. Now let me read that again. Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. You see who was in control there? Not Adam, but Eve. Because he hearkened to the voice of his wife. Because he didn't take his role. Who did God give the leadership of the home to? He gave it to the man. Adam didn't take it. He allowed his wife to lead him into sin. Young lady, if you're not ready to submit your life to a man, and to have him, so to speak, be able to tell you what to do, to be able to ask some things of you, and to be able to do it in such a way, in a loving way. Now, I'm not telling you, I'm not saying that he should treat you like you're inferior or like a doormat, but you must be under subjection to him. And if you're not willing to make that decision, then you're not ready to get married, young lady. And until you get in that position, don't get married. Because if you don't, and you get into the marriage, and you rebel against your husband, you're not only rebelling against him, you're rebelling against God. And you know what? You are dooming your relationship. Whenever there is roles reversal in marriage, it's going to prove disastrous, folks. God knew what he was doing. If you're not ready to do that, you're not ready to get married. Young people, are you prepared to bring children into this world and to guide them? Ephesians 6 verse 4 tells parents that they are to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. The time of thinking about parenting is before you become a parent. Part of the marriage relationship, and one of the reasons that it was instituted, not the only reason, but one of them, was for the procreation of life. You're going to, if God so blesses you, and you're going to have children, are you willing and are you prepared to guide them through life? Now, brethren, young man and young lady, this is a serious, serious question to ask. And you better be sure of your answer. If you're not ready for children, if you're not ready to become a mother or a father, then you're probably not ready for marriage. And you're probably not ready because it might happen, even with the best laid plans of mice and men, things sometimes don't go according to plan. Are you willing and are you prepared to guide children into this world? And you know what? This world's a terrible place. And our children need guidance. If you're not up to that task, then wait until you are. Young ladies, Are you prepared to be a keeper at home?
In Titus chapter 2, in verse number 4 and verse 5, and they admonish a young woman to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed.
Now, we're not going to get into a discussion about working outside the home. That's a decision that's going to have to be made between husbands and wives. But I'm talking about young ladies. The Bible says that one of your responsibilities is to be a keeper of the home. Does that sound like a demeaning job to you? Do you think that hasn't got a lot of glamour? Doesn't have a lot of prestige to just be a homemaker? To just be a keeper of the home? If that doesn't have any appeal to you, then you're probably not ready to get married. Because like it or not, that's going to be one of your responsibilities, young ladies, is to be keepers of the home. And if you don't want to do that job, if that's something you don't want to shackle yourself to, then don't enter marriage. Because that's one of the requirements that you're going to have, is you're going to be a keeper of the home. If you're not up to the task, or it doesn't appeal to you, or you don't want to do that, don't get married. You have a choice. Don't enter the relationship. Next, young man, are you prepared to care for a wife and a family?
In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says that those that will not take care of their own family are worse than an infidel. Are you prepared, young man, to be a provider, not just for yourself, but for another person, or persons, as the case might be, and children? If you're not ready to care for a wife, if you're not ready to take on the responsibilities of a family, financially, physically, and emotionally, if you're not ready for that task, then you're not ready to get married. Living on love ain't going to last long, folks. Let's live with reality here. You're not going to live on love for very long. And inside marriage is going to be some responsibility. And part of that responsibility, young men, is to take care of your wife. And that means to take care of her needs, not only emotionally, but physically and monetarily, and things that you're going to have to provide for. You're going to have to provide her a home. You're going to have to provide her shelter. You're going to have to provide her clothes and food. You know, mom and dad bought all those things for you up until now, but now you're not only going to be able to have to buy them for yourself, you're going to have to buy them for somebody else. And you're going to have to do it with your hard-earned money. And you're going to have to do it maybe to put her above you. Are you ready for that? Until you get ready to do that, don't get married. Because that's the responsibility God has given you, young man, in marriage, is to provide for your wife. If you're not wanting to do that, you're not ready to get married. Young lady and young man, please consider these last few questions very, very seriously. Are you prepared to limit yourself to this mate for life? Are you prepared, young man and young lady, to limit yourself to this mate for life?
Matthew, the 19th chapter, verse 4, Jesus himself said, whatever God has joined together, let not man put asunder. The Bible also tells us in Romans 7, verse 1 through 4, through the principle that marriage lasts as long until death do you part for either the man or the wife. Let me put this in a way you understand it, young man and young lady. Are you prepared to grow old with this person? You know what? Her beauty is going to fade, and so is yours. The hair is going to get grayer. You're going to get a little bigger. She's going to get a little bigger. You're going to both change. You're not going to remain the people that you are when you stand before a preacher and you say vows. And God expected you to grow old together. And if you're not ready to grow old, if you can't see yourself with this person, to grow old with them, to be with them for life, then don't get into the relationship. Because this marriage is for life. Now that's what God intended for it to be. Now I know in our society it doesn't go that way, but that doesn't change God's plan. And if you're not ready to commit yourself to this person for the rest of your life, don't enter the relationship. And let me add one little piece of advice here. If you got doubts, back out.
If you're not convinced in your heart and in your mind that you can live with this person forever, you better wait until you know for sure. And the last question. Young man and young lady, are you prepared to be faithful to each other always? In the Bible, in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 4, the Bible says that marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 through 5, it discusses the sexual responsibility of men and women in marriage. Are you ready to limit yourself to one person for the rest of your life? Does not sound appealing? If it doesn't, don't get married. There is only one cause for divorce, and it's the breaking of this responsibility. You know why God made that the only cause? Because it's the greatest hurt that you can put on your mate. If you're not ready to commit yourself to a monogamous relationship with one man and one woman, then you're not ready to get married. If you think you'd like variety, don't enter this relationship. This is a lifelong one man and one woman. I remember talking to a man a few years back, and he said, and we were talking about marriage, and one man that we were in the discussion with, his parents had been married for 50 years. And I'll never forget what this young man said. 50 years? How could you sleep with the same person for 50 years? That's a commitment that you made. You know, it's sad that people think that's a rarity today. That's the way God intended. And if you're not ready to commit yourself to one person in that area of your life, then you're not ready to get married. Because that's the requirement. Once you're married, that man and that woman is yours and yours only. If you're not ready for that, then you're not ready to get married. Well, let me talk about another thing here. Let me talk about physical ability and moral judgment for a minute. You know, you may be old enough, you may be of legal age, and you may be able to go down and fill out the marriage license, and you may be able to go through the ceremony, and you can even say, I do, and you can even consummate the marriage, but physical ability doesn't make you ready for marriage. Just because you're a man and a woman, and you have physical desire for someone else, does not make you ready for marriage. You might have the physical ability, but the question is, do you have the moral judgment? And let me illustrate this in a way that I think you'll understand. You know, a child has the ability to play with matches. You think he has the moral judgment to do so? Does he know all the dangers that's involved? Would you give your 5 or 6-year-old kid a pack of matches and say, here, go out and play? Would you do that? They'd have the ability to use them, but they wouldn't have the moral judgment on how to use them properly, would they? Because they don't understand. Let me give you another illustration. I can understand how to run a bike. I can have the ability to put my foot on the pedals. And I can have the ability to make it go down the road. But do I have the moral judgment on how to use it properly that I don't kill myself in the process? Not until I have some age and some experience. Now look at this last one here, marriage. Let's talk about moral judgment for a minute. Young man and young woman, are you prepared to make the judgments that you're going to have to make on a day-to-day basis? Are you ready for the decisions that come when you get into the marriage relationship? Are you ready for the concern and care and the problems that also come with marriage? Oh yeah, I didn't tell you that. There's problems in marriage. You know why? Because both of you are different. And because both of you are different, and you were raised different, and you come from different environments, and you're not the same people, you're not always going to agree. And there's going to become conflict, and there's going to become times when you disagree. What are you going to do when that happens? You going to pull each other's hair out? You going to yell and scream? Young lady, you going to run home to mama? Young man, are you just going to go off and run away from home? What are you going to do? Are you going to have the moral judge to be able to make these decisions? Are you ready to meet these challenges? And if you're not, then you're not ready to get married. And you know what? We need to understand something. Dealing in marriage, there will be good times and bad times. You know what is a strong marriage? One that lasts even in bad times. And they see themselves through. And I can tell you that any marriage that has lasted for any length of time has lasted because they understood that it was a lifetime commitment. Do you desire to work at your marriage? You know what? You're going to have to work at this. You know, you love this person, and it's a great thing, it's a wonderful feeling, but then comes the work of making it work. And you know what? It takes work to make a marriage work. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes decisions, and it takes effort on both parts of the relationship. Do you understand the tragedy of a failed marriage? I hope you never do. Young man and young woman, are you prepared for what a broken home will be? I'm telling you, you're not prepared. Nobody is. Nobody is prepared for what happens in a broken home. You can't even think about it. You can't even contemplate it because you don't understand it until you've lived through it. But you know what? The time to think about that is before you get into this relationship. To be able to make decisions that will not lead to the heartache of a failed marriage. Which is, you might have the physical ability, but do you have the moral judgment that you're going to need to make the decisions in the relationship? If you're not, then you're not ready to get married. Well, you're going to have a standard to live by. What will be your standard in your marriage? It's either the world or it's the Bible. That's the only two choices that you have. What is going to be your standard? What is going to be your standard in your attire? Young ladies, you belong to your husband, not to any other man. I like my wife to look attractive. I like my wife to dress to appeal me. But she is mine. And the same way it goes for the husband. He belongs to her. And their attire should be, when it gets scatty, should be for them and them only. What will be your attire? Are you going to dress like the world? Or are you going to dress in modest apparel? Which is it going to be? What standard are you going to use? What about dating? What's going to be your standard in dating this young man and this young woman? Are you going to use the standards of the world? As long as you don't do the act itself, then it's all right. What's going to be your criteria for dating? Are you going to conduct yourself as a young woman and a young lady as God has commanded you to do? Or are you going to let the moment get the best of you and go the way of the world? Well, we're going to get married anyway. It doesn't make any difference. Isn't that the way the world thinks? What's it going to be? How about, to whom shall I marry? Whom shall you marry? Let me ask you something, young man and young woman. What about character? Does that have anything to do with your choice? Do you want a person that has good character, has integrity, has honesty? Are you looking for someone like that, or are you looking at physical beauty? Does his character make a difference? Does the quality of a man and a woman, does that make a difference? And what will you do when you have a problem? Will you run? That's the way the world does. They have a quick fix for everything. If it doesn't work out, get it annulled. If you've been married a little longer, just get a divorce. In our country, you get divorced for anything under the sun.
Except adultery in 47 states, you can't get divorced for that. But you can get divorced if you don't like the way she looks anymore. If you don't like the way he acts anymore, he's getting a little big around the middle and you don't like it, get rid of him and get a new model. That's the standard of the world. Which standard are you going to live by? You can live by the standard of the world or you can live by the standard of God. Which will it be? It's going to make a determination how your marriage is going to go. By what standard you use. Will you use God's standard in your marriage? Will you base your relationship and the roles that you have? Will you base them upon God's standards or upon the world's standards? Are you going to be what God would have you to be in a marriage? Or are you going to be what the 20th century woman or man ought to be in marriage? You know what is the biggest, one of the biggest things in marriage today? Open marriages. You know what open marriage is, in case you don't know? That's where each partner has the right to go and seek other partners with the consent of their mate. That's in the 90s thinking. Is that the standard we're going to live by? Or are we going to use the standard of God? Now I'm going to make a statement here. I'm going to make it once. Marry a Christian. Marry a Christian. Is it a law? No. 1 Corinthians 7 teaches that it's not a sin to marry an unbeliever. But let me ask you something. Is there wisdom in marrying a Christian? Absolutely. Because you're both be on the same page spiritually. If you're not on the same page spiritually, you're going to have problems in the marriage. How are the children going to be raised? Where are we going to go? What are we going to teach them? And don't tell me that it doesn't come up. It will come up. There was an excellent article in last month's Witness called Listening to Mama. Brethren, that wasn't written by a preacher. That wasn't written by an elder. That was written by a person that's living in the situation. Read it and heed the advice. There is wisdom in marrying one of like precious faith. It will cause a lot of problems not to be problems. Maybe you think this. I'll change him after I'm married. Too many marriages ended up in a divorce court that they thought they could change him after the I do. Let me give you an example. Young man or young woman, if the person that you're thinking of marrying does not treat you right now, what makes you think they will after you're married to them? Think about that. If a woman is not treated by her prospective husband in a way that's appealing and one that holds her in dignity and with respect, how do you think that will change after the marriage? And young man, if the woman that you're going to marry is argumentative, is obnoxious, and she loses her temper a lot, do you think that's going to change after you marry her? Well, I'll change it. You think so? You willing to take the gamble? Now, brethren, you're going to have to make a decision. And all of us are going to have to make a decision by what standard we're going to use. I'm going to suggest this to you. From my point of view, from my study, no marriage that is not based on this book will ever last, will ever be fulfilling, will ever be happy, and will ever be the relationship that you can say that was joyful unless it's based upon the standard of the Word of God. Because God designed this institution, He designed the responsibilities in it and how we would conduct ourselves. And if we follow that pattern, it will be the happy, fulfilling relationship that God intended for it to be. Which standard will you use? The last point this morning. How much do you have to put into it? In Proverbs, the fourth chapter, in verse 23, this verse is of importance to our study this morning. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Diligence is a strong assertion, consistent and continually striving after. That's what it means to be diligent.
And in your marriage, if you want it to work, young man and young woman, you're going to have to be diligent in your pursuit of making the marriage work. And you're going to have to give your whole heart to the process. That means your thoughts. Genesis 6 and verse 15, the Bible talks about the thoughts of man. Your thoughts are going to have to be consistent within that relationship. So are you reasoning. In Mark 2 and verse 9, talks about our reasoning ability that we have as God's creatures. And also our ability to understand in Matthew 13 verse 15. If you want your marriage to work, you're going to have to use the intelligence that God gave you and use it in the way that God expected you to use it. Brethren, young man and young woman, listen to me carefully. You cannot mistreat your mate and hope to have a happy marriage. You cannot belittle your mate and hope to have a happy marriage. There is nothing that hurts me more than to see a man run down his wife in public, or to see a woman upstart her husband in public. That does not build closeness in a relationship. That makes distance over a period of time. How are you going to treat your mate? Are you going to use the intelligence that God gave you, or are you going to let your mouth get into gear before your brain? Remember this. When you insult your mate, you insult yourself because you picked them. What about your heart? What about your willpower? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 talks about purpose. Romans 6, verse 17 talks about our capacity to obey. And then Hebrews 4, verse 12 talks about intentions of the heart. In a marriage, you're going to have to use all of your willpower to make this thing work. It's going to take effort on both people and both relationships to make this thing work. And last but not least, it's not only going to take your intelligence, your willpower, but dear young man and dear woman, it's going to take your emotions and your emotional makeup. Proverbs 3 talks about trust. Ephesians 5 verse 25, we already read, talks about love. And Romans 10 verse 1, Paul talked about desire. How important is trust in this relationship? You destroy trust, you'll destroy the relationship. Trust is based upon mutual trust of both people involved. Love. Love is a four-letter word that we can say, but we do not understand what it means. Love is more than a word. It's more than a statement. It's showing and demonstrating it every day and every time in your marriage. And last but not least, your desire must be for your mate. Your desire must be for your mate, and if it's not for your mate, then your marriage will not work. When I was a young person, people told me, well, for a marriage to work, everybody's got to give 50-50. Wrong. In marriage, you've got to give 100% on both parties, both a man and a woman. It's not a 50-50 proposition. It's 100% on both people, both working to the same goal, and that's the love and a happy marriage. And if you're both not willing to do that, and if you're not working towards that end, somebody's going to be pushing, somebody's going to be pulling, you're not going to be down together, you're going to drift apart. Which is it going to be? Now I know that many of you young people are sitting there wondering why I presented such a lesson. Well, you just scared me off. I'll never get married. That's not my intention. And I assure you, that's not my purpose in this lesson. I don't want to scare you. I want you to be prepared. I want you to know what you're getting yourself into. Because when the lights come on and the honeymoon's over, the work begins. And brethren, and young person, we need to understand the seriousness about this relationship. This is a life time commitment. You know something? You might make a mistake in another part of your life. And it might not have a lot of terrible consequences. You make a mistake in this area, it's like a ripple in water. is going to touch so many people and so many things that the heartache is unimaginable and unbelievable. We need to understand that we need to sit down and we need to talk with our mate, our mate that we're going to marry. And you know what you need to do? You need to sit down and talk about religion. You need to talk about sex. You need to talk about children. You need to talk about the duties in the marriage. You need to talk about expectations. You need to talk about the relationship. And if you can't sit down and talk to your mate about these things, then do not get married. Well, I can't talk to her about sex and you're not ready to marry her. If you can't talk about religion and you're not ready to get married. If you can't talk about what you expect out of her and what she expects out of you, and if you can't sit down and talk about it without ending up in a fight, then you're not ready to get married. And let me add one little thing here. If you fight now, don't think that the marriage paper is going to change it, because it will not. It will just keep rolling. We need to be able to talk to one another to make these marriages work. And parents, we need to teach our children about marriage. We need to teach them about the commitment. We need to teach them about the responsibility. We need to teach them what's involved in the relationship, that they not go in with their eyes closed, but their eyes wide open. I have been married for 15 years. I'm thankful to God every day for Rita. She makes my life a joy and a pleasure to get up every morning. I have not always been the kind of husband that I should have been. And she'd be the first one, if she could say amen, she'd have to say that now, to be honest. Because I haven't been. But you know what I've learned? I've learned that God knew what he was doing when he instituted the relationship of marriage. But you know what also I've learned in time? I've learned that marriage, and a good marriage, is no accident. It's effort, it's work, and it's love, and it's commitment, and it's a determination to make it work, no matter what. I have one hope for my children. I want them to find a man or a woman, and I want them to be married, and I want them to be married forever. And I want their marriage to be happy. And I want their marriage to be fulfilling. I want it to be something that makes it a joy and not a burden. You know what many people today see in marriage? They see it as a ball and chain relationship. I, for one, do not. I, for one, believe it's much more precious than that. And young people, please consider the spirit that I have given this lesson in this morning. I have not done this to discourage you, but to give you some information that you need before you enter this important relationship. May all of us understand that if marriage is to be what God would have it to be, then it must be based upon God's design and not upon man's design. And in closing this morning, I want to leave you with this thought. Marriage can be a slice of heaven, or it can be a hell on earth.